News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, I got to tell you real quick about my friends at etaxbreaks.com. So it's funny, I was talking to one client today, or friend, and they were telling me how eTax Breaks had found them several million dollars in found money for their business. Things like the employee retention tax credit from last year in the pandemic. If you kept your employees, there's tax credits available to you. You may not know you even qualified for, and so that's a classic success story. Here I am talking to them about one aspect of their business. Next thing I know, I'm hearing about one of our other advertisers who is literally doing exactly what I tell you guys about all the time. Etaxbreaks.com just finds you money you didn't know you qualified for. How cool is that? And they only get paid if they find you money. So what I'm saying is this. Go check them out. They have a website set up just for our Right Side listeners, etaxbreaks.com/right side. They got 23 years of experience doing this. etaxbreaks.com/right side. So folks, I'm going to finish up this whole situation about, you know, taxes. I'm going to move into another one here about national security in a few minutes. But I want you to understand there's a complete, like, detachment right now among the Biden administration's officials. I mean, I'm looking at one tweet that came out of a Biden administration officer who says most of the economic... This has drawn some heat, too, by the way. Most of the economic problems we're facing, inflation, supply chains, etc., are high-class problems. What? We wouldn't have had them if the unemployment rate was still 10%. We would instead have had a much worse problem. That's his excuse for this? This guy is a professor, a former professor at Harvard. What does he even mean by this? The fact that economic problems are high-class problems, that we wouldn't have had them if the unemployment rate was still 10%. What is he saying? He would prefer we be at 10% so we could avoid inflation? This is ridiculous. I'm just saying, folks, they're completely out of touch in this administration. I've never seen anything like it. But what we're also seeing, though, is that we too often see this across the political spectrum. And when I say that, I'm talking about local, I'm talking about state, I'm talking about federal. And Justin Bogey was on the horn with us a moment ago talking about his article on the fact that Alabama is actually doing very well. Alabama is very, very solvent right now, very solvent. We are stronger than most states. Most people don't even realize we've got about a $3.2 billion rainy day trust fund that's not even touched. We also have seen massive increases in revenues, and Justin laid it out real well in his article. And you have to ask yourself the philosophical question, and I hope there's some legislators that are, I know they do listen to this show, by the way, but I hope there's some of y'all that are listening right now. We have some of the most conservative legislators in our state legislature in this listening area. In fact, the only four state senators who scored 100% on the Alabama Policy Institute's legislative conservative scorecard are in this listening area. And folks, I'm hoping you guys are hearing right now, fellas, you have got to start finding a means to give some back. And I don't mean a piddling amount that only affects a small segment of society. There is no reason in the age of excess revenues that we have that you cannot do a significant thing for everybody. There's no reason why you can't do a sales tax holiday for an extended period of time and bless your brick and mortar folks with an influx of new shoppers. Or what about this? Start phasing out. You don't have to do it all at one time. If you're scared of the teachers union, I get it. But the reality is, if we've got this much money coming in sales tax revenue throughout the state, you have to ask yourself, why are we one of only three states that taxes groceries? Why? It's a main staple of life is food, right? It's like air. Why don't you tax air next? How about water? Let's tax water next. Well, if you begin to phase out the sales tax on groceries, you're blessing everybody in this state. That is everyone who walks into any grocery store and buys something to eat. You have suddenly made a difference in their lives. And that's not being overly dramatic. That's the deal. And by the way, that's the statesman's view. Stop looking at it as, oh, I don't know. that we wouldn't be able to spend a bigger budget next year. If we lose the $457 million from the grocery tax, we are one of only three states in the nation that has it. So if I lived up in North Cherokee County, I'd just drive over to Rome and buy my groceries there because I'm not paying sales tax on them. Or for that matter, if I'm a veteran, I'm going to go ahead and drive on post and shop at the PX and avoid that grocery tax on my groceries. So I'm just saying, you can do this, ladies and gentlemen in the State House and State Senate. You can do this, and you can phase it out over time if you want to. Start with main staples, the things that are covered by the EBT cards, and then from there begin to phase it out and wean yourself off of it. But right now, I do know this. We're one of only three states in the nation with all the excess revenues we've got that still taxes groceries. And you got to ask yourself philosophically, when is enough enough? If you're making that much money off the taxpayers, maybe you took too much from the taxpayers. All right, folks, winding this thing down. I know we're headed towards the break, but listen, we've got more stuff you're going to want to hear. What's happening on national security? Oh, man, I'm telling you right now, these policies, they go straight to security issues. All you green suiters, defense contractors, veterans in the audience, I'm just saying you're going to want to pay attention to this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, all that in the Ground Council at 4 o'clock. Be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going to switch gears here and go to a different topic on the Triple Dipper. So far, we've covered the fact that supply chain madness is a coalescing of a variety of different policies being enacted by the Biden administration that have all served to disrupt everything in our economy to the extent that now our supply chain is completely backed up, completely out of whack. It's basically, we got a constipated supply chain, and we need to get it broken free. It's not going to happen through more government policies. It's going to have to happen through allowing the free market to be what it's supposed to be. If you overly regulate, if you overly disincentivize people to work, if you make it tough for people to work, if you enact vaccine mandates that fire people from work, if you tax people additionally, if you create instability in the market, if you ruin energy independence, is that a long enough list for you? What it basically means is you've just created the swirling of events, the perfect storm, if you will, that creates the supply chain madness that we're seeing today. All right, next on this Triple Dipper was the fact that tax cuts could be coming. I mean, we've got to talk about it. State Senator Arthur Orr, who serves right here in this listening area out of Decatur, he came on the show recently. He talked about the fact that he's considering a tax cut. Now, his version of a tax cut, I would love to see it go further, but it's still something. But it literally would do provide some measure of a tax cut, I believe it was, for the low income and the elderly in the state of Alabama. Now, the low-income and the elderly already don't pay a lot of taxes. They're tax-exempt in many ways. So I hope that he can see us through to a point that because they've got such an increase in revenues, they'll do something that every Alabamian can point to, every Alabamian. And it's time for that, because if they've got enough to have that much of a surplus, it means they took more than they needed. Well, the thing I want to switch gears to now is this, national security. Wow, it's polar shift. Yes, it is. But guess what? It all ties together. Now, I had to schedule Justin when he could be here on the show to talk about taxes. This would have flowed directly off of my Triple Dipper on supply chain. I'm looking at an article right now, all right? I think I pulled this one off of CNN. Representative John Katko, Representative John Katko, Republican from New York, is saying the supply chain crisis is also a national security problem. That's interesting. Had you thought about it that way? I've talked about what it does for you, the individual. I've talked about what supply chain madness does for us as a state with employers who can't get what they need to do the things it takes for them to have people working. I've talked about the fact that it could disrupt our ability to purchase standard goods off the shelf or even through the mail by Amazon or whatever other resource you use for shipping and receiving. But now we got this too. Here's a new thought for you, because I'm going to spend some time talking about national security issues. And Representative John Katko literally says, and I agree with him, the supply chain crisis is a national security problem. Story today, he literally says, he's the House Homeland Security ranking member, House Homeland Security Committee ranking member John Katko is warning the supply chain could have graver repercussions than just delayed delivery of gifts for the holidays, arguing that it could have national security implications. He goes on to say, the faltering supply chain seen during the course of this pandemic has proven that the United States needs to be more self-reliant, producing critical items like medicines, PPE, the protective equipment, and especially semiconductor chips used in cars and electronics. Think about this, folks. Semiconductor chips. Virtually everything that we have in our lives now, whether it be the smartphone in your hand or the electronics in your car or the computer you may be working on right now, semiconductor chips are crucial. Where do they come from? The vast majority of them come from the Asian market, to include mostly China and Taiwan. And if the supply chain is disrupting our ability to get those chips, well, that becomes a national security issue, because we also, by the way, have the same measure of electronics, if not more so, in our U.S. military capability. He also goes on to say, he says, I'll talk about something else here. He said, we're importing oil again. What they did is they stopped the Keystone Pipeline, which is a big source of oil and energy independence, and that supply chain, obviously, now we're having to buy oil again from elsewhere. I said that earlier, right? Where's the oil shipped in? Through the ports that are all stopped up. So national security is impacted by this. But what else is happening in national security? Well, you got to look around the world. I mean, it's very easy right now in this somewhat overly protective environment that we find ourselves in. Social distancing. Don't go to work. Stay home. Don't gather at a church. You can't go to that funeral. Oh, better postpone your wedding. Schools are closing down and going remote. Mask up your children. All these things create more of a sort of an inward look. Well, folks, we got to look outward too, because what's happening outside of our borders has an immediate potential impact on us as a nation. Let me break down a few of them. I'll just give you some stories. Here's one off the Daily Signal. Did you know right now that the Biden administration is making moves toward renegotiating with Iran on the nuclear deal? Oh, God. Remember the nuclear deal? The 2015 nuclear agreement with Iran that was negotiated by the Obama-Biden administration? The one where they sent pallets of cash and then it wound up getting us nothing? Well, Tehran has steadily escalated its violations of that nuclear agreement, and they've literally just begun to basically thumb their nose at everything related to the nuclear deal. And the 2015 nuclear deal also enabled Iran to escalate its threats against U.S. allies, according to the article I'm reading on Daily Signal. But then you take a look at what's happening now. They're talking about trying to stretch it out. They're giving it a name right now. Where'd that name go? Longer? Oh, shoot. I just forgot the name here. Hang on. Let me look for it. Well, shoot, I'll find that in a minute, but they've given it a name as for what they're trying to do with regards to creating a new plan. And I'm just saying, there is zero there when you consider the fact that also Secretary of State Blinken has declared his intention to negotiate this follow-on agreement, but the Biden administration is considering lifting sanctions against Iran, which means they will have no leverage. Keep in mind, I said once before, if you listen to the show regularly, you've got to consider, when you're looking at foreign policy and military and national security, you've got to look at something called DIME. It's an acronym, D-I-M-E. DIME, it stands for diplomacy, intelligence, or information, depending on who you're asking. Diplomacy, information, military, and economic. Those four things have to come together to give you strong position as you leverage your position in the world. And DIME, if you remove the sanctions on Iran, Iran has no reason to have to negotiate with you. They laugh, because they know you're not going to do a thing militarily, because you don't have the backbone, because the Biden administration and Iran is expected to potentially be a nuclear nation in a very short amount of time if we don't see something done. Next story. Moving on. North Korea. North Korea is an interesting dynamic. Now, North Korea is always a wild card, but North Korea, under the Trump administration, had moved further into talks with the West than we had ever seen. Did you remember the video when literally Trump himself stepped across the DMZ and walked over and had a photo op on the steps of the far side of the DMZ in North Korea? That was big doings. I mean, it looked like a little photo op. Folks, that had massive impact. That was a key indication that there has been a thawing of relations that immediately froze back over. Copper, we got a clip for this. Let me go ahead and get you to get clip three ready. Let me know when you got clip three. North Korea has been bowing up again. North Korea has been launching missiles again. You haven't been hearing much about it because I don't think the media wants you to know that the world is becoming a little more dangerous. But Japan has to sit there and watch these missiles land in their waters near their coastal areas. In the meantime, North Korea is developing new means by which they could deliver potentially nuclear missiles. Go ahead and play clip three.
North Korea fired a ballistic missile from a train for the first time ever. The roof of the train compartment opens and the head of a missile pops up. Once it's fully upright, it's believed to be a modified version of a short-range ballistic missile called the KN-23 that was first tested in 2019. The missile measures about 24.6 feet long and 3 feet in diameter, and it can carry nuclear or conventional warheads. After firing off the railway, it flew about 500 miles before landing in waters between North Korea and Japan. That's all according to the country's state news agency, which released the video. Its logo resembles the red torch on top of a monument in Pyongyang called the Juche Tower.
Good enough right there. Stop it right there. All right, so what we're hearing right there is North Korea is not only developing new delivery capabilities, but these are potentially nuclear capable. All right, North Korea is indeed a nuclear nation. They are a rogue nuclear nation. And so now we've got one rogue nuclear nation in one hemisphere that is literally staging new means by which they can disguise their launch platforms and deliver nuclear capability. And we have another one in another hemisphere, which is fast approaching the ability to do the same, and I guarantee you has technology that we're not even aware of, and that's Iran. Meanwhile, I'm looking at an article on Newsweek. The U.S. and Israel says they're working on options should Iran fail to return to the nuclear deal. Israel has already made it very clear they will not allow Israel to become, or excuse me, Iran to become a nuclear nation. They will do everything necessary because you're talking about a nation that has made it clear that they want Israel stamped off the face of the earth. And so Israel is not going to sit idly by. And yet we had the Abraham Peace Accords that the Trump administration was able to bring to bear just last year. We were seeing that. Literally, as we were approaching the final days of the campaign for president, we were seeing new peace deals being signed between Israel and Arab nations, like nothing anybody had ever seen. And yet now, here we are less than a year later, and we're seeing that Iran is back to thumbing its nose at the world, moving towards nuclear capability. Israel is having to put together its plans and options. And on the other hemisphere, you've got rogue nation North Korea, moving towards new capabilities for delivering nuclear options. I haven't even touched on Afghanistan. And then there's the big gorilla in the room, China. When we get back from this short break, I want to break some of those down for you and help you to see what's happening outside of our borders. But there are things that impact us. We are a military-centric state. And this especially is a very military and defense-oriented listening area. And all you folks that work out there at Redstone, and you defense contractors that provide to the industry, and the military industrial complex that has so much of a foothold here in our listening area, and all you veterans in the community, I'm just telling you people, this applies to us. I'll come right back with more on that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, I've been moving into this part of the triple dipper for the day where I'm talking about national security. All right, just real briefly, let me go through a couple things you need to consider. By the way, don't consider this as being some kind of doom and gloom. What I'm saying is awareness. You got to keep your head on a swivel. That's one of those phrases that we used to use all the time. You know, keep your powder dry, keep your head on a swivel. In other words, be aware of your surroundings and be prepared at all times. It's great to not have to use it, but you got to have it in case you need to use it. So, you know, right now, Afghanistan. What a debacle Afghanistan is. What a debacle. But nonetheless, so the G20 has been meeting. The G20 is that group of 20 major economies, including the U.S., China, Germany, the United Kingdom, Russia, the European Union, anyway, all of them. Leaders of the G20 got together, talked about Afghanistan, and what you're seeing right now is a deep concern article out of Newsweek right here that isolating Afghanistan could lead to more world security threats and counterterrorism issues. All right, so the Taliban said the current Afghan government's only interim. But their current government, though, is composed of a lot of Taliban figures, several of whom are either sanctioned or considered wanted by nations in the G20. Meanwhile, though, you got French President Emmanuel Macron saying he wants the G20 nations to recognize the Taliban. Yeah, there you go. I knew that was coming. You got the European Union just announced a $1 billion support package for the Afghan people. You got 64, how much was that? $64 billion in aid that's being designated for Afghanistan from the United States alone. And then you got UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who said the Afghan people should not suffer a collective punishment because of the Taliban, and urges humanitarian aid. What we're seeing here is what we knew was going to happen. The Taliban does all they have to do is wait for 20 years, and now the rest of the world gets to watch that. The rest of the world watches that, and they see the fact that the United States had this feckless withdrawal, put our enemies in power, and now they're getting a massive potential influx of cash that's going to help them establish governance, but it's also going to fund their ability to establish an army. So they are now a terrorist group that owns land. That's what we have. Folks, that's big doings. But then you got the big animal in the corner, and that's China. I'm going to get to China here in 1 second. Before I do, I see I got a caller holding on the line. I'll go ahead and take it and see what he's got. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. What's on your mind?
Well, this chip shortage that you're mentioning that we can't replace in our own at this time. The Minuteman II missile system is allegedly going to be replaced when a lot of it is analog and pretty much immune to hacking. Why are we doing this at this time? Why are they giving that contract out? Since it is a deterrent, a nuclear one, I'm just wondering why now would we want to put chips from China or somebody else in our new missile system? And shut up and
listen.
I have
no idea.
Thanks.
I have no idea. And Brian, you make a great point. We even use chips from China in our military hardware. Also, keep in mind this: a lot of our police forces around the nation actually use drone capability that comes from China. And then we have on the fact that a lot of our security systems in different facilities, many of which are secure facilities for government classified work, are controlled by chips that come from China. And I agree. I think this is a big issue. Why are we doing that to ourselves? I don't know. I love the fact that we do have some analog capability. You know, it's amazing to me to think about the targeting systems that we use just in things like the Abrams tank in our drone capability. In things like our Apache gunships, but all said and done, we are heavily reliant upon modern technology, and a lot of modern technology is being shipped in and stuck at the ports, and we can't get to it right now. And if they decide to cut us off one day, we better have the capability of making it on our own. And I don't know that you can stockpile it, because these things get out of date very quickly. So stockpile some, certainly, but at some point, you cannot advance in your technology without relying upon increased technology in the manufacturing sector. So we're going to have to start becoming less dependent upon foreign nations, especially China, when it comes to our technology and our energy sources. Those two things right there. You can't run a tank if you don't have the electronics and the gas. There you go. Well, folks, I'm getting low on time. Don't know I can even cover China. Top of the hour, we're going to have the Grand Council. So what I think I might do here is hold some of this discussion on China. And I got some good stuff right here. I'm looking at articles from the Wall Street Journal. I got stuff from the Washington Examiner. I got the Associated Press. Listen, I'm going to save China for a discussion coming up at the end of the Grand Council, which is coming up right after the top of the hour. My buddies Jeff Poor from 106.5 on the coast and Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN. Going to send a few questions at each other, see how we respond. Hang tight. You're going to enjoy this, one of my favorite segments of the week. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Oh, yeah. Displaying right. We'll be right back.